Hey, everybody. Welcome to the A1 Auto Body Podcast with your host, Nick Sands. Today, I am talking with Marco Delia of Delia Equipment, and he is a contractor, equipment operator, trucker, all-around cool dude, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. How are you doing, Marco?
Pretty good, Nick. Pretty good, man. That's some intro. Cool dude.
You got to live up to it now. That's the trick.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. There's a lot of cool dudes. I don't know if I can live up to that title, you know?
That's the nice thing about coolness is that there's an infinite amount. It's not like success. Like, everybody can be successful. There's not a limited amount of success.
That's true. Very true, man. Very true.
So, I probably did a terrible introduction there. How would you introduce yourself?
Well, my name is Marco Delia. We're based out of New York, Westchester County. Well, traditionally Westchester County. I recently relocated to Putnam County, right over the border. But basically, I'm an excavating contractor. We do excavation, site work. Predominantly, I would say 50% of my business is new construction. I dig a lot of house foundations, do a lot of additions, and I'd say the other 50% is water, sewer, and utility work. We replace a lot of broken sewers, water lines, stuff of that nature. Anything basically that has to do with any type of excavation and site work. And I do a little bit of trucking as well. I actually did a lot of trucking for many years, but I phased out the trucking probably 3-4 years ago, and I've been kind of shying away from it more and more. So really, we're just small residential excavation contractor.
How come you've been shying away from doing the trucking, or why did you start to phase that out?
Well, a number of reasons. I have a pretty long trucking background, I'd say. I've been driving a truck since I'm 12 years old. You know, I've had a commercial driver's license for 20 years almost now. And driving was a big part of my life for a long time. I started out driving a roll-off truck. I worked for a few different carting companies. And, you know, I love nothing more than driving. And when I went into business, obviously, you know, first thing I did was went out and bought a triaxle dump truck and got on the bandwagon with everybody else and, you know, did a lot of trucking and moved a lot of equipment for people as well. And I really think that, you know, it's a combination of all the regulation and all the laws, especially here in the greater New York City area. There's just so many fucking laws. It's just unbelievable, you know? And between the emissions and all the different licenses that they want you to have now, the DEC, the DEP really coming down hard on places to dump and different truckers, I think that, you know, it's a combination of everything that kind of forced me away from it. And you know, the other big thing is I'm very, 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 very meticulous. And I'm very anal with my stuff. And I've had a couple downfalls. I had a pretty bad accident about 5 years ago, a pretty unfortunate situation where I collided with a pedestrian. And it wasn't my fault. It was 100% their fault. But, it ensued a big lawsuit. And it went on for 5 years. And it cost me ton of money, and I think that combined with I had a truck flip over on me about 8-9 years ago now with a driver, and just, you know, I really think it's just a combination of everything. And not only that, the market is so saturated. I mean, my dad was a builder. My dad built from the late 1960s all the way up into the mid 90s, and it's funny, when I went into business in my early 20s, when I was about 20, my dad was telling me that the prices I was getting for trucking were the same prices he paid back in the 70s. So when you break it all down, especially with dump trucks and hauling dirt in the greater New York area, there's not as much money, I think, to be made as people really think there is. And for all the time and hassle that goes into it, I just think it wasn't really worth my time, per se. You know, I'd rather be – my forte is really in the machine and be on the job and stuff like that. I love driving, you know. I'm by nature a truck driver, and I'll always love driving. But I think that's probably a couple of the big reasons I've shied away from it the last couple of years.
That what you said about all the regulations and stuff, I know that even trucks up here, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a truck that doesn't have a New York IFTA sticker on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, predominantly in New York City, which I'm located about an hour and 15 minutes north of New York City, but predominantly in New York City, you know, the emissions alone, you can't even use a 2008 or older truck because you need to have what's called a business integrity plate. And a business integrity plate is basically a license plate that goes on a truck. It would be on a roll-off truck, a garbage truck, a dump truck. And in order to get that plate, you have to comply with the emissions. And what they did over the last couple of years is they basically forced everybody out of the older trucks. I mean, you know, New York City was dominated by traditionally Max and Auto Cars. Every New York City karting company and contractor, it seemed like at one time, had an R model or a DK Auto Car. And you don't see any of that stuff in the city anymore because now everything is the new emissions. So it kind of forced everybody to buy new trucks. And it's becoming a problem, you know, kind of all over the world, because I think that there's tons and tons and tons of older equipment that'll last and run forever, and you just can't use it because, quite frankly, a bunch of bullshit laws that really have no merit other than to create revenue. So it's kind of an unfortunate situation. But, you know, like a good friend of mine, you know, local contractor who's in the garbage business, you know, he's had to buy like 20 new trucks over the past couple of years because he just can't register the older trucks anymore. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, you take a guy, a small contractor like me that only has, you know, X amount of pieces or X amount of people working or whatever the situation is, and you make a guy go and buy, say, two new trucks or a new machine and a new truck, it's a lot of money, you know? Like, you got to think about the guy that has 50 trucks and, you know, 50 machines, and now he has to replace everything because some agency says that, you know, his stuff is no longer usable. It's a bunch of bullshit. So it's kind of a big hurdle that I think a lot of guys have been dealing with the past couple of years. And I think it's going to go across the board everywhere. You know, Jersey's doing it. A lot of those guys that haul the containers in and out of the port, they can't go in with older trucks anymore. So it's a shame, you know, and I'm sure California's the same way. It's going to be like that all over the place, and they're going to force everybody to basically either have new equipment or not work.
That is a shame because a lot of those diesel engines, the older engines, are bulletproof. I mean,
they're bulletproof.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
I said, yeah, they're bulletproof. I mean, you know, there's nothing more bulletproof than an R model Mack or an RD Mack or you know, I mean, the trucks were built to last. They were built, you know, really to work 30 years plus. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of these trucks have a lot of life left in them still, and you just can't use them. So,
yeah. Is there any, can you use them anywhere, like on sites or anything, or is it just
you could still use them, you know, like, you see me, I don't work in New York City. I used to do work down in the boroughs. I don't work in New York City anymore, that being a reason, but just the hassle of everything. But yeah, up here where we are in Westchester County, Putnam County, you could still run a truck no problem with no admissions. That's really a New York City thing, but I think it's going to eventually make a turn for the worse to where you're not going to be able to use them. I think we're going in the same way of California, where basically they're saying, hey, you know, this this VIN number is no longer valid and you can't re-register the truck. I still think we're a good, you know, 10, 15 years away from that, per se, in the outside New York area. But in the boroughs is really where it's taken a big hit, for sure, you know? And again, just regulation in general, you know, I mean, anybody that's listening and anyone that's a truck driver knows that a huge part of driving and a big inconvenience is getting pulled over and getting DOT'd. And I don't mean just, you know, going up the highway and pulling it to the weigh station and going through the typical DOT process. I mean, you know, here it's become like, you know, rolling DOT where they're almost looking for you, you know.
Yeah.
You feel like a criminal, you know, you really do. And I just, I have like, you know, I have trucks tattooed on my arm and, you know, I have trucks running through my blood. And I just, for someone like me, that I'm sure it's been a lifetime of loving, I kind of like lost all interest to really be in the trucking business per se. You know, it's easier for me to just hire the trucks out. If I'm doing a big excavation where, say, I need to take out 1,000-plus yards or, you know, anything like that, it's easier for me to make a phone call, you know, and hire, you know, I'm friends with, you know, 100 different guys in the area, you know, that are all in the same business that run trucks. And again, I'm not bashing that that's what they do and that's all they do. But for where I am with my business in life now, it's just easier for me to shy away from it. You know, again, I don't mind getting in the truck, going to move a machine, you know, doing a load of dirt here and there. But, you know, the majority of it, I really phased out.
I think that makes sense, especially for your business. If, you know, it sounds like you like to be, you love truck, you love driving, you love the truck, but it sounds like you also like to be a part of the crew who is down in the dirt with guys and doing the job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a machine operator just as much as a truck driver, and I love being in the machine. I mean, I've been running a machine since I'm a little kid. Like I said, my dad was a builder. He wasn't, per se, an excavator by any means. He was really a general contractor turned builder who had just kind of a love for equipment. So he owned a few pieces, and that's what kind of introduced me to it. But I do love being in the machine. And, you know, it's a lot less stressful, too. I'd like to just pull up in my pickup, get in the machine, and be on the job and not deal with any assholes on the road. You know, that's another thing. I mean, there's so many people on the road. There's so many people on their phone. Nobody pays attention. It's just, it's the odds are against you, you know. I see these young guys on Instagram, and I say young guys, I mean, you know, I'm a relatively young guy, but I see these guys in their early 20s that are, you know, getting their CDLs and going out and driving and everything, and it's like, you know, it's the same as I was when I turned 18 and I got my CDL. You know, it was the greatest thing in the world, but, you know, even 20 years ago, it was a lot different. There was a lot less regulation, like I said, and, you know, everybody wasn't on their phone, there wasn't iPhones, there wasn't as much distraction. You could kind of really focus on driving a little more. I feel like everybody's so distracted today. I don't know, like, I see these guys go over the road and stuff, you know, like Boston Trucker had the that show on, he had these guys over the road. I mean, I think you need your fucking head examined if you want to go over the road. I don't know why any of these guys would want to go over the road. I don't see, you know, what the whole thing is with it, but it's one of those things where, like, now especially being out there for 12, 13 hours a day driving a truck is just, it's mind-boggling to me because there's so much. So much has to go into it before you could really reap any of the benefits, in my opinion, you know.
There was a time, like you were saying, in America, like 20 years ago or so, where, like, and we still have kind of that image of, like, the American trucker, you know what I mean? And I think in our mind, like, being a trucker is, like, almost like the equivalent of being, like, a cowboy. Right.
Yeah. Well, it was. I don't know about it anymore, but it was, along with many other trades. I mean, if you look, if you just look back, let's go back 40 years ago. Let's go back to, say, 1980, you know? I mean, you know, the trades in general, there was movies based on working class people. I mean, you know, let's take, for instance, obviously everybody knows Convoy, famous trucking movies of the 70s. You know, there was the great, you know, the whole, you know, in the late 1970s, you know, the trucking was a big thing. You know, the truckers were fashionable. It was a cool thing. Like you said, it had an outlaw image to it. And, you know, I hate to say it, but there were no pussies driving trucks. And, you know, if you drove a truck, you were a tough dude. You know, guys back then, you know, people were created. I always say, you know, men were made differently back then. I feel like I'm one of the last of a generation. I was fortunate enough to be raised by a father who had me late in life. So it was really being raised by a grandfather. So I kind of got to see that side of people through my dad. And I look back in time, even from when I was a little kid, and, you know, all these different things, these different trades, such as, you know, trucking, excavating, anything that really men work with their hands, everybody kind of had their own little style. You know, I mean, I remember going with my dad to the gas station, and even the guy pumping gas had the Dickies one-piece outfit on with the name tag, and you associated with, like, okay, he works at the gas station. Even if it's not a glorified job, they still took pride in it, you know? And the same goes with the truckers. Truckers took pride in what they did. They took pride in their appearance. They took pride in the trucks. I think that a lot of that fell by the wayside, and I think that's probably why a lot of these different things, such as trucking, aren't really romanticized as much as they used to be. And on top of that, I mean, we've become a nation of people that are kind of taught to look down on trades, you know, and on people who work in those trades. And, you know, especially younger kids, they would never say, oh, my God, I'm going to come out of high school and I'm going to go get my CDL and I'm going to go be a trucker. You know, if a kid said that now, he'd get laughed at, which is a shame because he'd probably make more money than your typical idiot that goes to college and comes out with a liberal arts degree making $35,000 a year. But that's another conversation.
I actually think that because so my generation was, so I'm 32, so I graduated in, oh, I don't even remember, 06, I'm pretty sure. So I graduated 06, and I was one of the few people who didn't go to college. I was just, school was never my thing. I always hated school.
Same here.
I went to school, there was, I mean, a ton of pressure to go to school, to continue to go to college. I told the story before on the podcast, but I was told, when I told my guidance counselor I planned not to go to college, they told me that's okay because Dunkin' Donuts needs employees too.
Right. Which is pretty funny because if you want to get down to the truth, I'm a high school dropout. I didn't even finish high school. And I only have you beat by a couple years. I'm going to be I'm 36. So I didn't even graduate high school. I dropped out of high school when I was actually 15. I didn't even – 16 you're supposed to be when you drop out of high school. I didn't even get to 16 because my birthday falls in December. So if you want to talk about, you know, not the norm of going to college, I didn't even finish fucking high school. And when I dropped out of high school in, like, I think it was around 99 or 2000, somewhere around that time, I mean, dropping out of high school wasn't a thing that people did, you know? And, you know, looking back at it, it was probably the best thing I ever did because it prepared me. And again, I wouldn't give that advice to anybody, my circumstances were a lot different than most. But, you know, I think it gave me the advantage of being able to go to work and being forced to be successful because, you know, I didn't come from money or a dad's business or anything of the sort. My dad was actually broke by the when my father passed away 8 years ago. He was dead broke. Between me and my older brother, we had to split the difference for his funeral. And I'm talking about a guy that was a multi-millionaire in the late 70s and 80s for years, and unfortunately had a bad series of business dealings, and life was thrown at him in some different ways, and he wound up losing it all. So when I tell you that I dropped out of school and I started from zero, I really started from zero, despite anything that, you know, any type of image that, you know, I portray or people may think. So, you know,
I hate to think it too. Nobody's looking at you and thinking you're Big Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people look and they say, oh, well, you must have took over your dad's business, or, you know, you must
Right.
You know, and it's not the case at all. I really started from scratch. And I think that, again, I'm not Trump, and I'm not, you know, the biggest contractor in the world by any means. But, you know, I think that a lot of people that if they put their mind to it, they could do the same fucking thing. You know, you don't have to go to school to be successful. You don't have to be, you know, working in an office to be successful. And again, I don't know what you measure as success, but, you know, I tell people all the time, I'm a pretty good example of it. And again, I only have a 10th grade education. So I guess it kind of all trickles down to what you want to do and the type of person, you know?
I definitely think that I definitely believe that from what I've seen, people are waking up to the fact that, like, you know, college isn't the end-all, be-all. It doesn't make or break you. I mean, I hated school so much when I was in college or when I was in high school that I actually thought that when I didn't go to college, I was going to be a loser for the rest of my life. And I still didn't go to college because I hated school. I was like, well, I can either be a loser for the rest of my life or I can go to college. And I hated school so much, I said, there's no fucking way that I'm going to college.
Yeah.
I'm just a loser.
It's funny because I wasn't, you know, growing up, I was a pretty wild kid. And, you know, I got into some trouble when I was younger. You know, nothing crazy, but, you know, running with the wrong crowd and doing stupid shit and being, you know, a punk fucking 17-year-old kid and, you know.
I know the feeling.
Getting into fights and getting locked up and doing stupid things. So, believe me, I was the same way. I didn't have people looking at me saying, wow, this guy's going to be successful. You know, everyone kind of labeled me as the kid that wasn't going to amount to anything. But in reality, you know, most people didn't know the other side of me, which was that, you know, here I was this kid that, you know, may have had that image, but then at the same time, I've never done a drug or drank or smoked a cigarette in my life.
Me neither.
So, you know, and I had this dad, you know, it all kind of trickles back to my dad because I credit a lot of what I've became, you know, to my dad because my dad was really, you know, I got to say, growing up with my dad was really like growing up with a fictional character out of a movie. That's the best way I could describe it. If you took one of those, like, old mob movies, I say old, but, you know, you'd take a look at Goodfellas or A Bronx Tale. Like, my dad was a character that could fit right out of the movie, you know? And despite all the hard circumstances that I had growing up, I look back and I said to myself, fuck, you know, I kind of credit everything really to my dad because if it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't have been raised the way I was. And I don't think I'd have the mentality that I did to kind of say, look, nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to fucking be successful no matter what happens. I don't give a shit if I have to work fucking 8 days a week and, you know, work till fucking 4 o'clock in the morning and live like a fucking animal, but I'm going to make it, you know? And fortunately, I was able to have a dad where, you know, he treated me like an adult and kind of basically told me, you know, the rights and wrongs from life as a kid. You know, it's comical because, like I said, you know, I have little kids now, you know, and my kids have everything. You know, my kids are so, you know, I look and I'm like, man, these fucking kids have it all. And I look back and I'm like, man, I don't know how I would ever want to raise my kids the way that my dad did, you know. But then I think back and I'm like, well, it worked. Maybe more kids should be, you know, kind of dealt a tough deck of cards because it would make them a little more independent and a little more successful. And I think that's a big problem. You know, it's a big problem amongst young people because we have a whole nation. I mean, despite all the craziness going on in the world right now, we have a whole nation of young people that are just, they got no drive. I mean, they have no drive and they have no incentives. It's weird. I don't know. I feel like, you know, you talk to a young person and you're like, what do you want to do? And they're just like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I'm going to go to college and I want to go hang out. And I'm like, well, that's not a good fucking answer because that ain't going to get you too far, you know? So to go back to your, you know, initially what we were talking about school and everything, you know, I had a kind of a head start on working and kind of, you know, because by the time I was in my early 20s, I was already in business and everybody else was just kind of finishing college. And I had like a 5-6 year lead on everybody. So, you know, in a lot of ways, like I said, dropping out of high school was probably the best thing I ever did. You know,
I think I actually, unlike you, I actually encourage people not to go to college. I actively encourage them.
I do too. I do
especially
too.
If you don't know what you want, that's the thing where I think a lot of people get stuck is because, again, we're talking about, you know, and I don't want to take away all of the responsibility of the people who make the decisions to go to college.
Sure.
But we're talking about a school system that literally tells you from the time you're 6 years old that the only way to succeed in life is to go to college.
Right, which is the wrong thing. It's the wrong thing to be teaching kids.
It's almost like an inevitability. Like you have no choice. And by the time when you go to college, then they're gonna point you in the direction they need to go. Kids are told, you know, throughout like their whole school life that like over there, once you get there, like you'll know what to do. And then they dump you off there at the end, and you're like, wait, what the fuck? I still have no idea what to do.
Right. Right. Meanwhile, these kids are 22 years old. They don't even know how to write a fucking check.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you're like, wait, you just spent $65,000 a year to go to college, and now you got $200,000 in student loans or whatever it is, and you don't even know basic life skills, you know? And I mean, again,
I
look.
I feel like the college, the school system is setting them up to fail, and they're making a lot of promises. They're not following through on that. At least that's my experience from what I've seen.
Well, look, at the end of the day, college is a business. And it's a business, and it's turned into more of a business, I'd say, over the last 20, 25 years. Now, again, if you want to be a lawyer or you want to be a doctor or you want to do something that you know what you want to do and whatever that field may be requires you going to college, then more power to you. Go right to it and do it. But here's the thing. And my take is if you're going to go to school to become a lawyer, then when you get out of school, you better be a fucking lawyer. Don't go to school to be a lawyer and then come out and then you're working at fucking Starbucks because you want to change your career now. And I think that's a big thing, too. You know, and I hear a lot of people say, you know, especially young people, like, well, I don't know what I really want to do. And I'm like, well, what do you like doing? And they're like, well, I don't know. I'm not really into anything. And I'm like, well, that's a problem because growing up, I had like 6 or 7 different big line items that I loved and that I was good at, and that if I chose to not be in the career I'm in as a contractor in the excavation business, I could have did other things that I really, truly believe I would have been successful in, too. I raced motocross my whole life. That was a big part of my life. I rode dirt bikes. I rode BMX bikes. It was a huge part of my life. That was probably, like, the other thing that I would have maybe not even been, say, a professional rider, but which I could have been, but at the same time, maybe I would have done something in that field. I was into music. I played drums. I was into so many different things as a kid that kind of opened me up to, you know, exposure. And I look at these young kids and I'm like, just simple shit. Like, well, what are you into? I mean, I don't see any kids riding BMX bikes anymore. I don't see kids skateboarding anymore. I don't see kids doing any of the things that were the things to do when I was younger that kids could kind of fall in love with. You know what I mean? It's just everybody's kind of in la-la land on their phone and just kind of going through the motions of life. So I think that that's another big thing that, you know, a lot of young people don't have anything that they truly, truly love, you know?
Right.
Because it's something like, not...
too, when you're doing something like BMX, like, it teaches you to keep going when you fail, right? Like, you don't land a trick.
100%. If you don't do a trick... At least me, I would do the trick 100 fucking times until I got it right. And
right.
Then I'd say to myself, fuck, like, I did it, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, I guess sports are the only other thing that you could relate to it. But, again, I can't relate to it because I've never played a sport in my life. I've never been interested in sports. But, you know, I think that a lot of kids don't have things that kids of yesteryear did that they could kind of open up to, you know?
I agree with you. I actually, like, I think a good example is actually, I was telling you, I had a conversation with Carlos, Southwest Radio Comms, yesterday, and he just loved radio. He
right.
loved radio since he was just a little tiny English fella. And he
right.
just loved radio. And, you know, he works on boilers now. But I have no doubt that he could have gone into radio and been just as successful because it's just what he loves.
Right. Well, like, even radio, like, that's a funny thing that you brought that up. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, that was a thing. Guys were into those radios, even young kids. I remember being in school and there was a radio club and guys were into the ham radios and the fucking CBs and stuff. And if you told a young kid, like, or, you know, about that, and again, I'm not into that, but I know what it is, and I know enough to kind of relate to it a little bit, people would look at you like you're crazy, you know? So, I don't know. It's a funny time in the world to be a young person. I'm glad that I grew up when I did.
I agree with that.
You know, I hope, well, it's a funny time in the world to be alive in general, but I just hope that I could steer my kids in the direction of doing something that at least they could enjoy and still be successful. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I'm very thankful that I've been successful enough in a business that's been pretty lucrative, that I could do what I want, and it's given me the power to fuel the different things I like and buy the different things I like and live a pretty nice life. But there are a lot of things that people could do that you necessarily don't have to make $1 million doing. But if you love doing what you do and, you know, you can make a living at it and still be pretty happy, that's half the battle. Because, you know, if you could get up every day and you could go to a job or do something that you love and still make a living at it, then you won, you know? Because I know a lot of miserable people that make a lot of money, and then I know a lot of people that don't make as much money, but they're a lot happier people too. So that's another thing where I think that a lot of people don't take into consideration, you know?
I think another thing that people, should consider is that you can learn to love a job that you don't, like, you don't, not maybe you can't learn to love a job you hate, but you can get a job that you are fine with and then learn to just love that job.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Love aspects of that job, you know. I mean, you could become, you know, someone who goes and becomes a mechanic and he likes cars, but it's not a big thing. He can learn, maybe he doesn't really care that much about, like, fast engines or, you know, making things as powerful as possible. Maybe he's really into efficiency and, like, being able to make cars efficient, more efficient, or, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a pretty good point. You're right.
I think you can learn to love a job. I think that everybody right now is very focused on trying to find their passion and chase their passion, when I think that if you open yourself up, you can find the good things of a job. And like you said, you know, you may never be a millionaire. You can have a happy, successful life and just learn to love a job that maybe you don't necessarily have a interest or a passion in.
Right. I agree. But, you know, again, a lot of young people, I think, don't really look at it like that. And, you know, I think it's partially because it's the generation, too. I mean, look, okay, you know, I'm approaching 40 in the next couple years, let's say, and most people my age that are approaching 40 in their mid to late 30s, I think that's kind of the and you as well, because you kind of fall into the same category. You're above 30 by now, but I think we're kind of the last of a generation to maybe think the way that we do or do things the way that we do. I think that people younger than us have parents that are older than us, but they kind of missed out on the same type of parenting that, say, maybe I would have had, so they're raised a little differently. And I think that that's partially the problem. It's just a generational thing. And I think that a lot of young people don't really have that type of mentality because their parents don't have that type of mentality. Again, my dad would be 89 right now if he was still alive. So growing up with him was like, you know, my dad went through the Great Depression. My dad went through Vietnam. My dad went through all these pivotal things in life. Kennedy getting assassinated. I mean, huge, you know, milestones in the world. And so, you know, it was really like growing up, like I said, with a grandfather, where a lot of young people now, you know, are growing up with parents that are really only 10 to 15 years older than myself. So I guess it's just a different mindset, you know. So I don't know, maybe
so can't much.
Blame.
Even since we were kids.
The world has changed a lot.
The explosion, I feel like the explosion of technology in the last 30 years has created what I think you're saying is that, like, you know, life is just so much different now. You have a group of people, like, even, you know, I would say I'm like at the very tail end of that, where I didn't have a cell phone. I got my first cell phone when I was like in eighth grade, and it was $1 a minute.
Right. I mean, I had a pager. I had a beeper.
Right. But like, when you didn't know something, who did you, like, what did you do? Like, you went to the encyclopedia, or you just didn't fucking care anymore. You know what I mean?
You know what, dude? You want to talk about something funny? Magazine subscriptions. I'll never forget. You see, again, I'm a truck and machine, you know, lifelong truck and machine fanatic. I used to go through the construction equipment guide when you used to be able to fill out the index card and send away to all the different manufacturers for information on trucks and equipment. And I remember taking the index card out, circling all the different manufacturers. So it would say circle A for Caterpillar, circle B for Mack, circle C for John Deere, or whatever the case may be. And I would go put a stamp on it, go to the post office. I lived right across the street from a post office, mail it, and I would get all this information in the mail. And I'd even have salesmen calling my landline, telling my mom. They said, "Oh, can we speak to Mr. Marco Delia?" And my mother would say, "Who is this?" They say, "Oh, well, this is so-and-so. We're from, you know – so-and-so sales. And my mom would be like, he's 8 years old or 9 years old. What do you want with him? So it's just funny. Like, that's the shit I did. You know what I mean? I mean, I remember, we want to talk about the internet. I mean, I remember going to computer class in school and playing the Oregon Trail on a fucking computer that looked like a fucking keg of dry ice. I mean, so the world has definitely changed, bro. I mean, a lot has changed. I think even in the past 20 years since 9/11, so much has changed, you know? I mean, I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday, and I look back at footage of 9/11, and I'm like, man, that looks like it's a long time ago, you know? But it's weird. You know?
It is. I don't think that there's ever been a change that happened this fast, like in history.
Yeah, I agree.
There is that disconnect, and we almost have a group of, like, a large group of people who don't know what to do because they're kind of caught between two worlds.
Caught between two worlds, right? I mean, you know, I grew up again. Like, you want to just talk about a cultural thing? I mean, I grew up with friends who were skinheads. I grew up with friends who were punk rockers. I grew up with friends who were into all these different scenes that you talk about now, and people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know? Like, I said to a friend of mine yesterday, funny, we were at a little local car show, like a hot rod show, and there was this guy there, and he had long blonde hair. And I said to my friend, I said, yo, man, look, it looks like Edgar Winter, you know, from the Edgar Winter group. He goes, who the fuck is that? And I said, what? You know, and I was into rock and roll. So, like, to me, that was kind of like a thing where I'm saying to myself, man, this guy don't even know who that is. And to me, that's like saying, like, a household name. But then, you know, he's 10 or 11 years younger than I am. And I'm like, man, I guess it really is, like, things, you know, time really changes a lot. So
I feel you so hard on that with the we had some new younger hires start up, and you know, like, I was actually really into like punk rock and hardcore and stuff, and
so was I. Not
is
really
that why
punk,
you didn't
not...
do, let me ask you, is that why you didn't drink for straight edge?
No, I wasn't straight edge because I was definitely into women, so straight edge people were anti sex, anti drugs. I was just anti drugs, you know.
I was straight edge. That's why I asked you.
No, I wasn't straight edge, but again, I hung out
I never got that memo.
Yeah, what my recollection was. You know, that's what straight edge was. You know. A dear friend, two really good friends of mine growing up were skinheads, and they kind of phased out of the skinhead scene, and they got into, like, the hardcore scene, and I used to go to all those shows, and, you know, growing up in the suburbs of New York City, I still got to go to a lot of those, you know, very famous classic underground places in Manhattan that, you know, I mean, I saw Agnostic Front play, like, 20 years ago in, like, you know, Town Hall in the city. I got to see, you know, a lot of those things that people, you know, which was really living, like, a culture of itself. So I wasn't part of any scene. I was kind of friends with people in a little bit of everything, so I could relate to all of that. I mean, I remember, like, when G.G. Allin died, you know? So
it's so funny. I remember you're saying this, and it's like, because I was just talking yesterday about, or not yesterday, 2 days ago, about, I saw Agnostic Front, Sub-Zero, and another band, and now there's, but I saw all these New York hardcore bands all in one show, like.
In one show, yeah.
You know, for anyone who doesn't know hardcore, they're not going to care, but like, I saw Madball and Full Blown Chaos at the Bond Shelter in Manchester, which is now like a shoe store thing.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. That's funny. I mean, my really good childhood friend, my friend Alex, he was in a bunch of those bands, actually. Like, and he was friends with all those guys. He was friends with, like, Roger Moret from Agnostic Front. And I never got into like that scene because those dudes were like diehard into it, you know. I didn't drink, so I didn't kind of fit in with them. They wanted to just fucking scream and drink and get into fights, and I was kind of like, I'm just checking out like that punk rock chick in the corner, and I'm going to go home because I'm fucking tired, you know. So it was kind of like I was a little bit different in that aspect. But it's funny that we kind of both, like, if you talk to a young person about that, they wouldn't even know what the fuck we're talking about, you know.
Yeah, no, they don't. I tried the scene up here now is I sound like an old person, but the scene up here is like so much different than it used to be, and it's just very, very, very different now. But
same here.
There was that time, that like perfect time where it was something.
it really was, and you know, you don't see people like that anymore. I remember like even, you know, like I just said, like the hardcore scene and those guys and skinheads. I mean, I remember listening to, you know, I remember when I just got my license, I think the first CD I used to blast was Screwdriver. You know, if you ever played Screwdriver now, you'd be looked at like a fucking, you know, people be like, what the fuck is this? But, you know, that's kind of how it was. You know, everybody kind of hung out with each other back then, you know.
Yeah.
I remember like the sharp skinheads, you know, and then, you know, I had two friends of mine who were black skinheads.
Yeah,
I had
quite a few skinhead friends up here as well.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's funny because like that's kind of my generation. Like that's what people did, you know. And it's just so funny to see how the world has changed so much, you know.
I actually saw the Cro-Mags a couple of years ago.
Oh, did you? Yeah, Harley Flanagan.
Yeah, they played a show up here, a reunion show. I don't know if Harley was in it or if it was just John, if it was just Joseph and the other guys, but it was.
Yeah, like, you know,
they
we
still
forget
killed
that those dudes are fucking 55 years old now.
Dude, you know what's hilarious about them is. Or that whole scene back at that time, I'm sure you know this, but, like, they were all Hare Krishna guys. Like, they were all vegans, fucking, like, practically.
Yeah, Hare Krishna guys. That's funny. A lot of people don't even know what that is, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever read his, John Joseph's autobiography? It was, what the hell is it called?
I didn't. I read something about him a couple years ago. Wasn't he into like road racing on bicycles?
Yes. Yeah. No, he was a bike messenger for a long time.
Or maybe he was a bike messenger. Something. I was reading something. You know, once in a blue moon, I'll break away from the whole excavation and trucking, and I'll stray away and look on the internet at some. You know, I mean, some of these names that you're bringing up, like I forgot off the top of my head. You know, and now we're talking about it, so it rings a bell. But, you know, I'll look up, like, some of these dudes, like, what they're doing now and shit like that. But, you know, I don't really follow too much of it.
No, I don't really follow it anymore either. It was just – I was actually at the tail, probably, of what – of all the guys you – but it's just funny that I didn't expect to have this conversation tonight. It's just funny that it came up like this.
Yeah, it's funny it came up. I wasn't expecting either. I was expecting to talk about trucks and equipment and business. But, yeah, it's funny how it –
While we're on the subject, I'm really curious, why didn't you drink? Because I'm like –
why didn't I drink? Okay, I'm gonna tell you why I didn't drink, quite frankly, because I thought that drinking tasted like shit. I mean, it really didn't. It didn't go to any other extent than it. I think that, you know, I always thought alcohol tasted like shit. You got to remember too. So again, I got to, you know, it all goes back to my upbringing. You know, my dad never drank. My dad, you know, my dad was an old school Italian guy that grew up in the Bronx in poverty, and I kind of really emulated a lot of the things that he did because I looked up to my dad, and my dad never drank, but my dad did smoke cigarettes, which, you know, unfortunately is what he died from, lung cancer. And I never did that either. And again, I never drank or smoked or did drugs just because I think part of me, was turned off by it. I thought it was nasty. I thought cigarettes were disgusting. I think drinking tastes like shit to me. I was like, why would you want to drink when I could just go drink coffee that tastes good, you know? So it was kind of one of those things. I think, people always looked at me like I was crazy because I didn't drink. And they're like, yeah, right. Like, you drink. What are you, like, recovering? I'm like, recovering from what? I'm like, no, I just don't drink. And still to this day, I don't, like, I wouldn't even, I couldn't tell you the last time I took a sip of alcohol. I mean, I drank one or two times in my early, you know, my late teens, maybe, like 18, 19. That was probably the last time I ever even consumed alcohol.
That's I've literally never drank, done drugs, or used any tobacco product in my whole life.
You know, the other thing was, you know,
it's weird to talk to somebody else who hasn't. That's why I'm so amazed right now.
I haven't. You know, and again, I always wanted to be, I was never, like, into working out, but I always wanted to be healthy. I didn't want to put that shit in my body, you know. I was like, what the fuck? I used to look at people that smoked and be like, what the fuck? Like, what are you, you know, like, years ago, like, my dad's generation, like, you know, when I was a kid, everybody smoked. I remember when the smoking ban started going into effect, and I was a kid with my dad, and we would go into a diner, and there would be a diner with a smoking section now. And my dad would be fucking furious. He'd say, this fucking place, I'm never coming here again, Marco. After we leave tonight, fuck him. He doesn't want me to smoke. I ain't going. You know, the diners were always owned by Greek guys. So my dad would say, that fucking Greek cocksucker, he ain't going to get my business anymore, you know? And I'd be like, well, why not, Dad? Like, I just want to eat. I like the burgers here. He'd be like, ah, come on, you know? So it's funny how I remember, like, the whole change of when the smoking section started to come in. And then, you know, slowly but surely, they started phasing it out of everywhere. But everybody smoked, you know? Nope. It was like, so you want to talk about the world changing. I mean, I don't really know. I don't know anybody that smokes. I know one or two people that smoke, and they, like, my father-in-law smokes, but he's European, and he's been smoking all, you know, his whole life. And I know, like, you know, my friend Alex smokes, but, like, I don't know anybody that's still smoking cigarettes religiously. And I guess that's just another thing of how the times have changed, you know. But
I thought it was growing up, because I started learning in second grade that smoking was awful for you, you know, and I never understood why people smoked. It's like, it's fucking so bad.
Never understood it. My mom and my dad both smoked.
And
my
it's
mom,
not like it was a secret that it was bad for you. Like, we all knew how terrible it was for you. People still do it.
And again, I remember going out, you know, I remember my father building houses back in you know, late 80s, early 90s, and I remember, you know, my father had, I'll never forget, he had a 1988 Chevy Caprice wagon. It was baby blue, and that was basically his pickup truck. He had everything in there, from fucking shovels to ladders to, you needed it, he had it in that truck. It was packed to the roof with shit, and I remember going with him, riding out to the job, out in Jersey, you know, in the middle of winter, fucking 19 degrees outside, and he'd have the window open, you know, smoking a cigarette. And I'd be like, ah, you know, I'm like, why can't we just be normal and have, like, a normal car, you know, like the normal family with the windows up and the heat on? You know, it was like my father, it was like growing up with a dinosaur, you know? So I credit it, you know, I joke about it now, and anybody that knows me or knew my dad could shake their heads, yeah, right now, because really, you know, talking about my dad, I could go a whole nother hour about just that, but, you know, anybody that knows me or knows my dad knows exactly what I'm talking about, so.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like you were very lucky to have a dad like that, though.
I was very lucky. I was very lucky because my dad, you know, he showed me a lot. He showed me a lot about life.
It may not have always been like it at the time.
What'd you say?
I said maybe it didn't seem like it always at the time. Like, it probably
It didn't. You know, growing up, you know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to fucking, you know, just like any other young kid. And, you know, it's funny because now that, you know, I'm a dad, and I have three little kids. You know, I have a son who's eight, I have a daughter who's six, and then I have a 10-month-old baby. And then, you know, my son is with me a lot, and my daughter is too, but, you know, my son predominantly, because he has a lot of the same interests as me. And, you know, I say stuff to him, and I say in my head, I'm like, holy shit, I'm my father. I just repeated what my father told me 30 fucking 5 years ago, or 30 years ago, or whatever it is, you know. And it's funny how history kind of repeats itself, but... I was very lucky. You know, my dad was a really good guy, and you know, he wasn't the most polished, and he wasn't the most educated book wise, but he was probably one of the smartest people I've ever met, especially as far as wisdom and street smarts and knowledge. You know, he grew up in a time where it was fight or flight. You know, when my dad was growing up, you know, in the Bronx, in the late 1940s, and mid 1940s, because he was born in 1933. You know, it was really a different world, and you had to be tough. And if you weren't tough, you got chewed up and spit out. And my dad was one of those last real tough old school guys. You know, there's only a handful of them left. You know. And I joke, like, my friend Andy has an old school dad who's the same way, contractor, and I'm friends with a few older contractors that are from that generation. And I always say, you know, when those guys die, they threw that fucking mold away years ago. They don't make guys like that anymore, you know? My dad had fucking hands on him that were like bear paws, you know? Every finger looked like a fucking Oscar Mayer hot dog, you know? I'd say he's got a handful of thumbs. That's what the joke used to be, you know? They don't make humans like that anymore. So it's kind of, you know, it's funny when you look back, you know, you're right. You don't think about it at the time, but, you know, 90% of who I am today is because of my dad, you know? So it's I'm lucky to have, to grow up and have him as a dad, despite all the craziness growing up and the different things that happened over the years. I was really lucky, definitely, for sure, you know. And, you know, I know a lot of guys, you know, with dads like that, that unfortunately have passed, and they kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, I think, you know, your parents is such a luck of the draw thing, you know, like people aren't asked to be born. You never know, like, the circumstance that you're going to be born into. It's not like you get a choice in the matter, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I consider myself extremely lucky to have ended up with the parents that I did, because they, especially seeing some of the other options out there, some of the other models.
Yeah, man. Oh, 100%. I see that every day, and, you know, I'm very lucky too. You know, again, you know, my parents divorced, you know, not getting off topic, but my parents divorced when I was like eight or maybe nine. And I lived with my mom briefly, but growing up, I grew up with my dad. So it was me and my dad for years, you know, by the time I was growing up with my dad was kind of at the tail end of his success, and then he lost everything. And for years, it was me and my dad. We, you know, I grew up in a one bedroom apartment with my dad, and you know, again, my dad went from being a big, very, very, very successful self made contractor to losing everything, to kind of being this, you know, 60-something-year-old man with a kid, and it was just me and him. So, you know, again, not like I'm a Rockefeller, but I come from very humble beginnings, and I look back and, you know, sometimes even just driving down the road, you know, I'll think, and I'm like, it seems like a lifetime ago, but it wasn't that long ago, you know? And it's amazing how, you know, somebody like my dad could shape my life, you know, and I was fortunate to have him. And, you know, a lot of kids would be better off if they had hands-on parents like my dad was. You know, unfortunately, not everyone has to, like you said, you don't know who you're going to get as a mother or a father, but, you know, I couldn't ask for a better one, you know?
It sounds like you were super lucky. Are you try and, you know, give that same kind of thing to your kids that he was able to give to you?
I do. I try to do it on a little bit of a more polished level because my dad was pretty rough, you know.
Yeah.
But I do, especially with my son. You know, my son takes after me in a lot of ways, and he really loves equipment. He loves trucks. He knows everything there is to know. And he's kind of like a mirror image of me when I was a kid, because I was the same way. I was a walking encyclopedia. If I was into it, I knew everything. I could tell you every fucking model, make, where it was made, what's here, what's there, you know, who worked on what. I could tell you the history of anything, especially truck and equipment related that I was into. And my kid is the same way, so I kind of treat him the same way. But again, you know, my raising children and my dad's raising children are very different. I've been fortunate enough to raise my kids in, you know, a nice home, in a marriage. You know, I have a great wife. It's a little different, you know, like I said. So I do. I treat my kids as they were a little older. I don't treat them really as babies, you know, especially, and I talk to my son like an adult. I tell him, look, this is what can happen to you if, you know, you don't listen to me and you don't, you know, stand in this place when I tell you to. That fucking tire can explode and that could kill you, you know. And I explain to him and I talk to him like an adult, which my dad did to me, and it made me realize very quickly what's right and what's wrong. So hopefully, again, I try to do it a little more polished than my dad was. But, yeah, I try to give him basically the same advice, and obviously, you know, more, because, you know, I experienced a lot of interesting stuff with my dad. So I try to give him – I give it to him in doses. You know, I tell him a lot, you know, because my son was only a year old. My dad died, so – I try to give him a lot of good stories about him and what we did and as kids and what I did. You know, I leave a lot of stuff out that I'm sure I'll tell him when he's older, but for the most part, yeah, you know. But again, you know, my kids, as spoiled as they are in good terms, I want them to, you know, I want them to know the value of a dollar. I want them to be able to work. I want them to be able to understand that money doesn't grow on trees, that not every kid has, you know, three dirt bikes and two four-wheelers and a go-kart and this and that and, you know, a nice place to live and parents that, you know, buy them stuff. I want him to know that that's not the norm everywhere, that, you know, there's a lot of kids that don't have that. And I don't want him to take anything for granted, you know, because I kind of look at it as, you know, we're here on borrowed time. And all this that we have could be lost at any moment, you know. So I kind of want them to know that, hey, you know, you got to pave your own way a little bit too. You know, it's not – so we're not giving stuff away here, you know. You got to put a little bit into it, you know, to get – you got to put into it what you want to get out. So I kind of give them
– Are you hoping your kids grow up and go into the business with you?
I hope my son does. I hope my son does because, you know, quite frankly – he'll be a lot better off than going to fucking college. My daughter is a girly girl, you know. She keeps telling me she wants to go to medical school. I said, okay, well, that's great. You know, look, you know, I'll encourage them to do whatever they want to do. I hope my son goes into it. Hopefully by that time, you know, I could kind of teach him the ropes and, you know, he could maybe take it into a different direction, you know. And branch out into another way, or, you know, do something. Whatever he does, I just want him to be happy and successful, you know. So
I think that's all anyone can hope for any of their kids.
all we can hope for, you know. But yeah, I definitely, I mean, you know, he's into all the things that I'm into, especially the business, you know. I mean, my son's a diehard equipment nut, truck nut. I mean, you know, despite what's going on in the world right now, I mean, we go to every antique truck and equipment show. I mean, you know, we go all over the place. It sucks that this year we, you know, all the shows were canceled, despite like the Gear Jammer show, and I think the Mac show out at Gerhardt's in Pennsylvania is going to be on. But other than that, which is a great show, by the way, I don't know if you get around to all the truck shows, but if you want to go to a great truck show, you got to check out the Mac Day is out at Gerhardt's, because it's a place that you should just go and visit at least once.
Sounds like a road trip next year.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good time. But, you know, all the shows are canceled, so you can't really enjoy any of the stuff we normally do.
Yeah. Okay. Can't stay like this.
I hope so, man. Something's got to give soon, you know? We're living in a pretty weird time. Got people fighting over fucking who's wearing a face mask and who's not. Fucking people rioting and burning shit down. People going nuts, shooting each other. We're living in a fucked up time for sure. You know, something's got to break.
We are. It's a wild time. And I guess all I've been trying to do time now is just try to focus on myself and just, you know, take care of my own little corner of the world and hope that everyone else does the same.
Kind of the same with me. Take care of my own little corner of the world and kind of hope for the best, you know. But, you know,
I'm just saying, I'm not a very smart man. I'm not going to solve any of the world's problems, but I can turn a wrench. So if I can just do that, maybe the rest of
it. Hey, man, you know what? It says something, because at least you're making money and you kept going during the whole thing when all these other people are sitting home fucking collecting unemployment. I guess it's something to be said for, you know.
That's right, Ken.
Although, unfortunately, I know a lot of people that, you know, lost their jobs and are sitting home, not by choice, believe me. But I guess, again, it says something about being in trades or being in business where you can work. You know, again, not everybody's going to work at a desk. So.
I think that's an excellent note to end on. I appreciate you doing it today, Marco.
Absolutely. Maybe we'll talk again, and next time we'll talk a little more on trucks and the actual topics, you know. But
we'll see what comes up. I'm not gonna paint myself into any corner.
Right. But
Where can people find you?
Where can people find me? Well, you could follow me on Instagram. You know, Delia Equipment Corp. That's my Instagram. And other than that, you know, I don't have any other type of social media or anything, or anything really kind of based, you know, that people could find me or follow me. But
what's your personal phone? What's your business phone number so people, if they want some contracting work, can get a hold of you?
Yeah, it's 914-714-4816. Again, we're based out of Northern Westchester, Putnam County, New York. You know, site contractors, excavators, whatever you got to do, you know, residential work, kind of cover all aspects. But
the business,
right, just like anyone else. I'm out here to make a dollar like everybody else. But on a different note, there are a lot of guys on Instagram that, like I said to you offline before, that I have met that we all share the same interests. So, you know, I always like talking to new people on there, you know, that are guys that are into the same stuff, the equipment, trucks, you know, the industry. It's nice to bullshit with people on there, even if I don't know who the fuck I'm talking to, you know.
I love it.
I feel like I know so many people on there, but I don't even know them at all, you know.
You do. I mean, I've been I think it's like, I was really into video games, like online games and stuff, so like it's normal. It's just like a continuation of that for me, but like I have some really good friends online. that I talk to all, probably more than I talk to my real life friends, to be honest.
Right. It's funny because, like, you know, again, on Instagram, I was dead set against it. Instagram, the whole nine yards. You know, again, I'm in like an old school mentality. I says, I don't want to fucking be on there. And then once I got on there, I'm like, holy shit. It opened up a whole new world. You know, I could look at fucking, you know, I've found pictures of trucks, of contractors and stuff that, you know, you'll never even know existed, you know, thanks to the Instagram. So I guess it's a pretty good tool at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's what it is. At the end of the day, the tool is, you know, a tool is a tool. It's not either good or bad. It doesn't do good or bad things. It's just a tool that humans use, and sometimes it gets used for good. Sometimes it gets used for bad. It all just depends on how you're working it.
Right. It all depends how you're working it. Well, hopefully that it continues to work in a good fashion for us at least. You know, with the
I'm a pretty positive guy, so.
Yeah, I try to remain positive, but sometimes, you know, you gotta stop and wonder.
I'm like that guy who gets his leg cut off, and I'm like, well, at least I lost 30 pounds, you know? Like, I try to always stay positive.
Yeah, you know what, man? I tell you, the older I get, the more I'm like that because, I stop and look, you know, again, I stop sometimes and I think, and I'm like, man, you know what? Whatever my fucking problem is, someone's got it a lot worse than me right now. So I got to make the best of it, you know? Like, my wife was complaining the other night about something, and I said, you know, just stop for a minute. You know, what are you complaining about? We have, you know, we have everything that we could ever want. So stop complaining. You know?
Right.
So I never used to think like that. I used to be like, oh, yeah, fuck this and fuck that. And, you know, this sucks. And why? And now I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. As long as I'm healthy and my family's healthy, that's all that matters. Everything else is secondary.
All that angry hardcore you were listening to is what did it.
Yeah, again, man. That's a long time ago, right? That's why I don't listen. Now I'm driving down the road. I want to hear, like, you know, I'll put in some Billy Joel or something. You know, I got to calm down a little bit with that.
I listen to audiobooks like a fucking nerd.
Yeah, you know, I never got into the audiobooks, but somebody was just telling me the other day about a book that I like that was going to be on audiobooks. And I was like, oh, that's something I would listen to. But again, I don't have the fucking time. Like, I don't, you know, very rare that I have 3 hours of a day to read a book, you know? I'm
right.
On the go constantly, you know?
Well, that's what I like about audiobooks is because I used to read constantly, and now I find I have no time to read, but I throw the audiobook on in my car, at the shop when I'm working by myself, I throw it on, I can listen to it there. I just replace the radio with it.
Right, yeah, I don't listen to the radio anymore either because, you know, I used to listen to Howard Stern, listen to Sirius and stuff, but I'm not even into that anymore. He kind of turned me off, so I stopped listening to him. And I don't listen to, you know, again, it's like I feel like my fucking day is nonstop. You know, it's nonstop from morning to night. Here I am, it's 11:20 at night, and we're bullshitting, and I'm sitting here still in my work clothes. So nothing, you know, like it never ends, you know. So.
Well, I appreciate you doing this with me.
Hey, man, I appreciate you reaching out and wanting to talk to me, of all people, because end of the day, I'm not anybody special, but I appreciate it.
Neither am I, and that's why we had such a great conversation.
That's why we have it. Yeah, that's why we're talking. You know. So, but
all right,
hopefully somebody, you know, whoever listens likes the interview. And,
I'm sure they will. And if not, fuck them.
Fuck them. Right, fuck
them. Have a great night, man.
All right, bro. Good talking to you. Later. Bye. Take it easy.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed my conversation with Marco. If you did enjoy it and you want to do me a favor, you could head over and you could go ahead and give me a review, a positive review. You know, 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever you think is appropriate. Or even if it's a 1 star, feel free to hit me with that. But just if you're going to do that, just do me a favor and let me know what I did bad that I can do better to maybe earn your 5 stars one day. Thank you so much again for listening, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a wonderful night.